Bye-bye. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Storage Talk TSM 6 Subcapacity Pricing Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I'd like to turn it over to Tricia Jeong. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining today's call. This is going to be a call on Tivoli Storage Manager 6 Subcapacity Pricing. As most of you are probably aware, we're doing a series of calls around the TSM 6 announcement and GA. In fact, next week we will have a chalk talk with the developers on the TSM database upgrade, which will be an excellent chance for you all to learn a little bit more about the upgrade and to ask questions directly to the developers who created that. We also have a roadshow going on that's covering 46 cities worldwide, so look for that coming to your area. For both of these are open to both IBMers and business partners, and you can find out more information about those in the alerts that are sent out by the storage team. So with that, I'd like to turn today's call over to Koei Eswachandran. He is the TSM brand pricer, and he will be walking you through the presentation that you should have been able to download from either the Tivoli Talk or the business partner website. Koei.
Hi. Thanks, Tricia. Hello, everyone. This is Koei Eswachandran. I'm the TSM brand pricer, and today we're talking about subcapacity licensing. So with the TSM 6 announcement, we also made TSM one of the eligible products on, so made it part of the broader IBM subcapacity program. So I'm going to be taking you through some slides explaining how subcapacity licensing works overall, and it all applies to TSM. So if we move to chart 2, just to set to level set, what is a virtualized server? So if you're looking at the graphic, a virtualized server essentially takes the 8 physical cores that are in this example and partitions it and effectively creates 2 servers. And depending on the virtualization technology, they call it partitions or virtual machines, whatever, but it enables that 8-core server to be split into 2 servers, in this case 4 cores each, and those are referred to as virtual cores. Moving to chart 3, there are a lot of different virtualization technologies out there, such as PowerVM, LPARS, VMware. The subcapacity program supports a lot of the different virtualization technologies. However, you should always check the website at the bottom of that page there, because we're constantly adding virtualization technologies to the eligible virtualization list. So, for example, Hyper-V from Microsoft is currently not an eligible virtualization technology, but VMware is. So in approaching your customers, make sure you check the technology that they're actually using to make sure that they're eligible for subcapacity licensing. Moving on to chart 4, so level setting on full capacity and subcapacity licensing. So full capacity licensing requires the customer to license all the physical processor cores on the server. And what subcapacity does is it allows customers using obviously eligible virtualization technology to license down to just the virtual cores that they're using. And I'm going to go through some examples of exactly how that licensing works. So in order to benefit from subcapacity licensing, I moved on to chart 5 now. In order to benefit from subcapacity licensing, customers have to agree to the subcapacity attachment. They also have to obviously use eligible subcapacity virtualization technology, and they also it's only open to eligible subcapacity products. And so with the 6.6 announcement, TSM became one of those eligible products. Previously, TSM was not an eligible subcapacity product. And one of the other requirements for subcapacity licensing is customers have to use the IBM license metric tool to maintain reports. We're no longer requiring customers to actually submit reports to IBM. They just need to maintain them for audit purposes. Chart 6 is just a visual graphic of how full capacity licensing works. So in this example, we have one server with 8 physical cores. There are 2 IBM software products running on that server, MQ and WAS. It could easily be TSM as well. And as you can see from the bottom table there, both products require licensing for the full 8 cores of the machine, MQ and WebSphere. And if TSM was running on this, you'd need to license TSM for all eight cores on this machine. Moving to chart 7, which is a subcapacity example. So we have the same one server with 8 physical cores. Now the customer has partitioned the server into 2 partitions with 4 virtual cores assigned to each partition. In partition 1, they're running MQ and WAS, and in partition 2, they're just running MQ. So you can see from the bottom table, MQ needs to be licensed for 4 cores in partition 1, 4 cores in partition 2, so a total of 8 cores total, and WebSphere needs to be licensed only for the cores that are assigned to partition 1, so only 4 cores for WebSphere. Moving to chart 8, virtualized server clusters. Technologies such as vMotion allow you to create virtual clusters, which essentially physical servers that use the same a pool of processing resources, but can move those virtual machines from one physical machine to another. So you see in the graphic there, on the right hand side, the physical environment in this case is three individual servers with 4 cores each, a total of 12 physical cores. But using vMotion, they can essentially create a virtual cluster of as many virtual machines as they want, and those virtual machines can move between physical servers. Each virtual machine is still assigned a virtual core. So in this case, VM1, VM2 are assigned 1 core each, VM3 is assigned 2 cores, and VM4 is assigned 4 cores. The way we license virtual clusters is on chart 9. So we have the same environment, 3 servers, 12 physical cores in total on those 3 servers, and the customer has chosen to create 12 virtual cores. So in this case, VM 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all running MQ, and then the other virtual machines are running non-IBM software. So the way to license the IBM software is you just total up the number of virtual cores that MQ has access to. So in the bottom table there, you can see that MQ is running only on VMs 1 through 4, and it totals up to 8 virtual cores that need to be licensed under subcapacity rules. And obviously here the customer benefits, since previously the customer would have had to license 12 cores, and in this case with subcapacity rules, they can license only down to 8. Moving on to chart 10, the IBM license metric tool. This ILMT is mandatory for all subcapacity customers. There are some exceptions. So the exceptions are if ILMT does not support the virtualization technology, but that virtualization technology is supported by the subcapacity program. So an example of that is VMware today, where VMware is an eligible virtualization technology for the IBM subcapacity program, but the tool, IBM license metric tool, does not actually support VMware in terms of counting cores. So in that instance, we'll allow customers not to use ILMT, but to do a manual count instead. Some other exceptions are if the enterprise has fewer than 1,000 employees, if the full capacity of all the servers is less than 1,000 PBUs, and in all these exceptions, customers basically can use a manual calculation to count up their cores instead of using the tool. Moving on to chart 11, this is an example of the 1,000 PBU exception to the tool. It's based on the full capacity measurement of all the servers running in the environment have to be less than 1,000 PBUs. So on the green shaded area, you can see there that it's a single server, 8 physical cores, which total to a full capacity of 960 PBUs. So that would be an example of where the customer does not need to deploy the IBM license metric tool. What doesn't qualify is if they have multiple servers, all those servers happen to be less than 960, all those servers happen to be less than 1,000 PVUs, but in total add up to more than 1,000 PVUs, then obviously that does not exempt them from using the tool. Chart 12, as I mentioned before, there are constantly new virtualization technologies being introduced into the market, and it's important that you check the subcapacity website to ensure that you know, your customer is compliant and using one that is supported by the program. Moved on to chart 13. So the benefits of subcapacity, I think, are pretty straightforward. It allows the customer to license down to a more granular level to the processor cores on the server as opposed to the server as a whole. And, you know, it'll allow customers to leverage their virtualization their virtualized environments to basically reduce their total cost of ownership. So, you know, I see subcapacity licensing as a great tool program to have, because it allows us to be more competitive and allows customers to basically just license what they're using, and should obviously bring the total cost down as well. Moving on to chart 14, you know, so as sales reps, you obviously need to sell the capacity that is required. So if you continue to sell full cap and just discount down, that what that might do is essentially, you know, customers who buy full cap now and are eligible for subcap won't probably come back next year for more licenses. There is a process in place for converting full capacity to subcapacity. Sales reps are authorized to do conversions. Obviously, that customer can't be going through a compliance audit. There is a very specific formal process for converting full capacity to subcapacity, and it's if you follow that link on the website, it takes you to the charts that explain that process in detail. The next charts, 15 and 16, are essentially the websites. On chart 15, the internal website is got a wealth of information. It's got a list of all the eligible products, all the eligible virtualization technologies, pricing examples, and there's also an external website that you can share with your customers. And I encourage you to go to that website. That it'll probably answer all your questions on subcapacity licensing. In the backup, we don't need to go over it now. I have put in charts 18 and 19, and there are two specific TSM subcapacity licensing examples, one with VMware Consolidated Backup, VCB, and the other one with vMotion. I think they're pretty straightforward and explain how TSM needs to be licensed in those two environments. So that's the end of the formal presentation in terms of charts. I think we can open this up for questions now.
Vicki, are you there? Can you help us open this up for questions, please?
Yes. To ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Alan Schroers. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I was just I had a question about first of all, is that tool, is there a charge for that license compliance tool?
No. The I should have mentioned that. The IBM license metric tool is free of charge, and it's designed to essentially count cores on IBM software. So it's mandatory for subcapacity customers. It can be used for full capacity customers simply to count cores, and it is free in either case.
The other question I had was it sounds like it's still an option then for a customer to use either the standard PVU based on number of cores or the subcapacity pricing. I mean, I can think of examples in VMware where it might come out to be a better deal for the customer if they use the core account versus the subcapacity.
So the way subcapacity works is they have to license the lower of full cap or subcap. So if using subcapacity pricing, it basically takes them over the full cap. You're capped at the full cap price. So in that instance, it would just make sense for the customer to just to buy the full capacity part numbers as opposed to subcapacity part numbers. But, you know, even if they choose to use the subcapacity part numbers, which I wouldn't recommend, it's capped at the full cap. So in an example where you have a server with, 16 cores on it, but they've put a VMware on that and created, 100 virtual machines, each assigned one core, which is theoretically possible, then you have 100 cores but only 16 physical cores. Pricing is always capped at the physical core level. So in that instance, it would just make more sense for them to license the full capacity part number instead of the subcap. But even at subcap, you just cut it off at the full capacity number of cores.
Okay. And I also had a question about clustering. If they're in a cluster environment, say it's Exchange, would the count for example, Tivoli Storage Manager be on, I guess it would depend if they're both active, then there would be, you'd have to count the cores on both?
Yeah. So those rules are still the same. If they're both active and doing work, then the rules apply to both servers.
Okay. But if it's active passive, then it's only, you only have to count one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Ellen Rome.
I just want to verify that this subcapacity is only available with TSM 6.1 and above, not back levels of TSM.
So Passport Advantage is version agnostic. So it's not only 6.1 that is eligible. Back levels are as well. Obviously, the customers just need to get the appropriate part numbers, because now with the introduction of TSM into the subcap program, we've introduced subcapacity part numbers for all the PVU-based TSM products.
Great. And one additional question, do you have any kind of a worksheet to gather this information or tool to gather the subcapacity information from customers?
So there's the IBM license metric tool, which they have to use as part of a subcap customer, and that goes out and counts their cores.
Right, but you said that wasn't available with VMware, so I was just looking for something maybe more manual in a VMware environment.
Yeah, so there's no tool to help with the manual count. The manual count is a manual count. The tool will support VMware with its next release. I believe it's either June or July of this year.
Thank you.
And we'll now take a question from Greg Gies.
Hi there. I've heard a mixed discussion as to with VMware whether or not I have to have Enterprise or Extended Edition license, or whether or not I can use Base Edition as a license for VMware environments.
We don't have a qualification on Extended Edition in regard to whether it's it being used in a virtualized environment or not.
So I can use VCB with Base Edition?
I believe. Well, virtualize. So I'll have to actually check on whether VCB function requires Extended Edition. Greg, what's your last name?
J-E-H-S.
J-E-H-S?
Yep.
Okay. Greg, this is Trisha, and as far as I know, it does not require Extended Edition. The pieces that do require Extended Edition would be large number of tape drives or tape capacity. Also, if you had the disaster recovery piece turned on, or if you were utilizing NDMP. And then with TSM 6, that would also, if you wanted to use dedupe, you would need to purchase, your customers would need to be purchasing TSM Extended Edition.
Okay.
Thanks, Tricia.
And we will now take a question from Lori Hartman.
Yes, thank you. I'm just trying to figure out, when you do subcap for, say, WebSphere or MQ or even DB2, it's really easy to identify what's running where. in a storage environment, you know, I've just found our customers have had a hard time, at least the storage folks, even figuring out, you know, what physical stuff is being backed up, much less, you know, parts of a machine now. So I'm just trying to understand the scenarios where they back up only part of a machine. Is it if they just haven't deployed all the cores on that? Or
no, so
run through some of the scenarios, because I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah, so the example that I've been given from sales is, say you have a 16-way server, and the customer's partitioned that and is running a database only on four cores, and they're using TSM for databases to back up that database. So previously, they would have to license TSM for databases on all 16 cores, but they know they've partitioned the database only to four. But now with subcapacity, they only need to back up the cores that are running the database in that partition, essentially.
So it's for TSM for mail, database, all the other add-ons, too, is what
exactly.
We're talking.
Yeah. So typically, the TSM server, I would typically not see subcapacity being done on the TSM server, because typically you need all the processing capacity of that server to back up all the other file servers, application servers. But I would see it used more in the application space or the file space, depending on how the customer has set up their environment.
Okay. And then you talked about the whole conversion process. So who exactly do the sales folks need to go to initiate that?
I'm not in charge of the conversion process. I know sales reps are authorized, but they just need to follow the process outlined on chart 14. There's a link there.
Okay.
If you follow that link, it brings you to a set of charts that details exactly what that process is.
Okay. Thanks.
Next is John Miller.
Hey, Chloe.
Two quick questions.
Hey. If a customer has a mix of particular server environments where in some cases it makes sense to have physical core licensing versus virtual core license, the subcapacity licensing agreement accommodates that? It's not all or nothing?
Yeah, no. You can have – so like I said, the TSM servers typically will not be virtualized, right? So you'd typically be buying full capacity licensing on that, and you'd use subcapacity licensing on the database server, for example. So
okay.
It's not all or none.
All right. Second question is, you may be aware of this, and maybe we want to take this offline, but VMware has a new application called Site Recovery Manager. It's sort of VMware's disaster recovery capabilities. We support it on some of the storage products, inclusive of SVC. But in this particular environment where a client might have a primary site and a DR site, and they push the virtual machines over to the secondary site, do we have to – assume we have to license TSM over on those other particular locations, even if it's only a temporary test? Or how do we handle that element?
So I think we'll probably need to take that offline. Raj Krishnamoorthy, who runs the IBM subcapacity program, would probably need to be pulled into that conversation. If this is new VM technology that's just been announced, so typically, that group will have to study it, understand exactly how the virtual machines are moved and what restrictions VMware places on those to make it eligible. So I'll get with you offline to understand that in a little more detail and then get with Raj.
Okay, will do.
We'll now go to Jim Reichart.
Yes, hello. I think most of my questions got answered. Except for when is the date where this would be going into effect?
So with the announcement on February 10th, all the subcapacity part numbers are already on Passport, and TSM is an eligible subcapacity product, so it's already out there.
Thank you.
And if anyone else's question has been answered and you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, simply press the pound key. So it's star 1 for a question and the pound key to remove yourself. We'll now go to Alex Rivera.
Hi, thank you. Just a quick question about ION, the IBM license metric tool. Where can a customer get a hold of this tool? How can they access this?
I believe it's through Passport Advantage. It's got a Passport Advantage part number. I don't have that right with me, but you can look that up on Pricebook under, you know, IBM License Metric Tool, and it's a no-charge item.
Okay, so this is something that they would have to, sounds like, maybe log into their password account. With their login, they can see their entitlement, and then there's a, maybe a link to download the actual tool to their desktop or something like that, or am I wrong, you know?
So that I am not 100% sure on how the customers, because I don't think, it would be how a customer would normally purchase TSM. It would be the same process for ILMT, except there's no price associated with it.
Okay. Okay. And then another question is, are you our go-to person if in case, I'm a sales rep, for in case we go down the path of the customer, we're trying to close a deal in first quarter, we need some assistance, do we call you for subcapacity needs, or who should we contact?
So you can come to me as the brand pricer, Tom O'Brien, the product manager. Rajan Krishnamurthy is the software group overall pricing person in charge of subcapacity. So you can send subcapacity questions to me or Tom, and if I need to pull Rajan in, if it's something like the VMware new technology that's been applied, I'd need to pull software group in. But, yeah, you can come to me.
Okay, and what is your name again? I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's Kohi, K-O-H-I, Iswara Chandran.
Okay, okay, I did see your name. Thank you. All right, and you said VMware is not supported right now with ILMT until June. There's no way to expedite that at all, you know?
No, so you can't. Your customers who have VMware and are using VMware can use subcapacity licensing. It's the tool won't support it until June, and that's their release schedule, and you know, I don't think there's anything that can expedite that because VMware has been a hot topic since last year, and it's on their requirements. So,
okay, thanks for the answers. I appreciate it.
Next is Scott Selvig. Scott, your line's open. Please go ahead. Please check your mute button.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Hey, Cody, I just want to double check on this. So basically what you're saying is this ILM tool for subcapacity licenses can go out and report back on TSM usage within the subcapacity portfolio.
Right.
Or it can just identify subcapacity virtual servers.
It doesn't support VMware, but in with other technology, I believe the way that it reports out how many cores need to be licensed under subcapacity rules.
But it doesn't identify TSM on that. It just identifies the number of cores that are being used on a virtual server.
No, I believe it does identify TSM.
Okay, so this one of the big things that we were faced with from a sales rep perspective, Kohai, is that reporting on TSM usage is very difficult. So you're saying that this can report on TSM licenses being used to back up subcapacity. Have we looked at all of this for potential other servers as well?
What do you mean by other servers?
Because one of the biggest challenges we have, and maybe I'm the only one out there that has this, is from a compliance standpoint, TSM is a very popular tool because customers are unable to report on how much TSM they're using within their environment. And if I'm understanding you correctly, this tool, the ILMT, whatever it is called, is able to go out there and report on which clients are using TSM in a subcapacity.
Right, and also in a full capacity mode as well. So we require it for subcapacity customers, but customers who just have full capacity servers and want to count cores can use the tool as well.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Next is Beverly Brown.
Good morning, Kohi. On the subcapacity licensing conversion, have the distributors been trained yet in how to do that and assist our business partners?
So that is a question probably for the software group level. I don't know the exact process. I'm not sure what training our partners have and whether they're authorized to do conversions. I know sales reps are. But I would go to the specific documents on conversions, and there's probably detail in there.
Okay, and then the second question, just for clarity's sake, in your example on page 19, it actually shows you fully licensing TSM EE, but then subcapacity licensing on the SharePoint in the mail. Do you have to fully license TSM, either base or extended edition, or is that just because of the way this particular example worked out? Do you understand my question?
Yeah, I'm just looking at chart 19 here. So we'll take ESX Server 1, for example. It's got four virtual machines running, each with each assigned one. Four virtual machines. Three of them are file servers, and the fourth is an MS SharePoint. So, and each of those virtual machines are assigned one core. So the reason Extended Edition requires four is three for the file server and one for the SharePoint.
Okay, so in that case, if they only had two file servers on a four-core machine, they only have to license the core edition two times, right?
Yep.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Next up is Dan Krause.
Good morning, Chloe. Thank you for the presentation.
Good morning.
On the last question, I think the reason why that we license, there's an assumption when you license TSM across all cores that all data needs to be backed up. So the only time you would not use TSM on all cores is if you, for some reason, had a system that did not require backup. My actual question is on slide 18. We're showing here the cores, and then down below, first I want to verify that if we do use VMware Consolidated Backup, that we also have to license the VCB proxy server?
Yes. So, and I'm assuming in this example that the VCB proxy server is not virtualized, and that's why all cores are licensed. And I think typically that's the case, that they don't virtualize the proxy server.
Right. The other thing I wanted to point out on the examples for TSM Manager for SharePoint and TSM for Mail, neither of those actually participate in the VCB framework. So in each of these examples, they probably you would not license the proxy server. So I think that's probably just an oversight in the example, but something we're going to look into the future, because only today, only file level and image level backups participate with VCB.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'll take a look at that. Thanks for pointing that out.
Great. Thank you very much.
Next is Jeff Telfer.
Hi. Hey, guy.
Hi.
I think that last guy has just answered my questions, but I just want to double confirm. On the TSM licensing, if you are using VCB for full backups and file-level backups, and you're not putting the VA clients on each of the ESXs, you don't have to license the ESX servers. Is that right?
Just repeat that scenario again, please.
So you're using VCB backup.
Yep.
So we're not putting the BA clients on any of the virtual servers within any of the ESX farms. We're just using VCB. So do we just license the VCB server, or do we still have to license those ESX servers?
So the whole point of VCB is there are no agents on the ESX, right? But TSM is still protecting that data. They're just using VCB to pull that data onto the VCB and then backing up the VCB. But TSM is required on all the ESX servers and the VCB proxy server.
Really? Because that will actually increase from what we have today. Because today you don't have to do that. Is that changing?
No, that's always been the case, right? So we have three ESX servers. They use VMware Consolidated Backup to move that data to a proxy server, and then they use TSM to back up that proxy server, right?
Right. So the VA client's only sitting on the VCB server.
That's correct. But the data that's on that VCB, the data that's being protected, is the data from the ESX servers.
Yes.
So under full capacity licensing, the ESX servers and the proxy server would need to be licensed. That's not a change. The change is if there happen to be running virtual machines on those ESX servers that use less than the full cores of the ESX server, then just the cores being backed up on the ESX server need to be licensed as opposed to the full cores on the ESX server. But the ESX server is always needed to be backed up under the TSM you know, managing rules. So TSM essentially protects data on the ESX server, so we require licenses for those ESX servers.
I see. Okay, that's a new one on us. Okay, we'll have to double check that with our guys here as well then. But thanks for the time.
And as a follow up to that question, Cyrus Nilchin did do a Tivoli talk, I think it was last week, on TSM in the VMware environment, and he does go through a couple licensing examples for that, and that should be out on the website. So you could, if you're interested, you could listen to the replay on that.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now go to Randy Jones.
Hi, guys. First off, somebody was asking about the conversion, if the distributors have been educated on it. I work for Arrow, and I can tell you that, no, we haven't. So if you need to do that conversion from full capacity to subcapacity, we haven't been trained on it yet, and they were talking about going through IBM, so that's probably the recommended path, because my sales team probably doesn't understand it yet. But my real question here is has to do with the vMotion page. Now, the way I understand it, I could have a vMotion server idling, sitting there waiting for virtual machines to be moved to it. So in your scenario here, you've got all the virtual machines taking up all the cores of the in this vMotion environment. But what if I have a four-way machine sitting there idling? I have TSM for mail running on a like on server 2 of your example on page 19, but I need to move that over to the idling ESX server. Let's call that ESX 4. How would I license the ESX 4? Would I need all four cores for TSM and as well as another core for TSM for mail, or are these licenses transferable as I move the machine?
Yeah, so with vMotion, we do support that. So in the case of you have a virtual machine that is assigned two cores on it and it's sitting on a four-core machine, and then it moves to another four-core machine, the licensing does not increase. You license the two cores for that virtual machine. vMotion happens to move that virtual machine between two servers, but we still require only two licenses, two cores to be licensed.
Okay, so very good. So the TSM licenses as well as the TSM4 licenses would transfer to that as I move that machine, right?
That's right.
Okay. That's good. That's what I had. Very good presentation. Thank you. This is going to open up a big old can of worms for all of my partners, so I can hardly wait.
Okay. We'll now go to George Price.
Hi. I have partly answered it, that last question, but I'll sort of move that forward. At what point does subcapacity licensing take place, i.e. in a moving VMware environment? So today I could license a particular VM for two cores, say, but then next week for a month I put it on a four-core machine, and then the month after that I put it back to two cores, and so on and so forth. At some point, if I'm audited by IBM, what would happen?
So
that makes sense.
I think it's the licensing is to the maximum cores available to the software. So I believe in order to be eligible, it needs to be fixed and not moved. But if the customer changes it from 2 to 4, because I know with vMotion it's dynamic, then it has to be to the maximum core level that it has been used.
So even if the customer or I decided to do that just for a month because it's going to be particularly busy, that server, I would have to license for the whole year for four cores.
That's great.
Rather than the two. Right, okay. And my second question, was just quickly, the LMT software, does that have to be loaded onto every server?
Right. So as I understand it, I don't sit on the IBM license metric tool team, but as I understand it, it's agent-based, so it needs to sit on each server that is being counted.
Right. Okay. Fine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Next is Sergey Gaudet.
Hi. My question is with respect to TSM. Is there a page out there that outlines the TSM product with the different aspect of licensing and their dependencies, like you were talking about the DR requiring the DR or NDMP, or I suppose now VCB requiring the TSM Enterprise Edition to be licensed and so forth. Is there like a general centric page that has all this information?
For TSM Extended Edition, I believe that's part of the announcement. It's also part of the Tivoli licensing document on Extreme Leverage. But with the VCB example, it's the sort of the managing environment rule sort of governs that, right? So TSM is managing the ESX servers as well as the proxy server, and therefore all servers need to be licensed. We don't call it out specifically. It's sort of it fits under the managing environment rule. And obviously the subcapacity pricing example on page 18 and 19 are also part of the RFA pricing examples.
Mm. Okay. Well, I was looking more of like a global review essentially of all the components of TSM that may or may not require licensing or may not be eligible for subcapacity pricing and whatnot or licensing.
Well, so with this announcement, all TSM products that are PVU based have now subcapacity part numbers in price book. So if it's not a PVU based product, then obviously subcapacity doesn't apply. But all the TSM family or TSM 4 products that are PVU based have now subcapacity part numbers in price book.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now go to Kelly Castanet.
Hi. One of my questions was already answered on vMotion, but my second question is on chart 19, you have in the totals for TSM for SharePoint, it's showing a zero, and I just wanted to figure out if that was an error or if I've missed something and how this works.
Oh, yes. Thank you for pointing out an error. I can't add. Zero plus one equals one, not zero.
Okay. I didn't know if something had been eliminated. Thank you.
Thank you.
And at this time, there is one name remaining in the roster, so if there are any additional questions, please press star one at this time, and we will now go to Bill Bates.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Just back to the license metric tool. I think the question was answered. It's agent-based, right? So we're not going to get any discovery on the cores on any particular machine without that agent being on there.
That's correct.
All right, thank you.
And no one else queued up, but I'd like to give everyone a final opportunity. If you do have a question, press star one, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we do have a question that will come from Gayane.
Hello, my name is Gayane. I'm from Russia. I've got a question about subcapacity licensing. We have a customer who use, for example, P-series machine, and they always use LPARs for licensing some applications. And now we have the same situation with Windows platform when we use virtual machines. And can we still continue to license just manage CPUs as usually?
So with the subcapacity announcement, VMware virtual machines is an eligible virtualization technology, so you can license to the virtual cores as opposed to the full capacity of the physical system. So yes.
Because it's very difficult for the customer to explain why he should change another way of licensing, because it's very easy. It's not an easy to explain how to calculate PVUs per core, but it's more difficult to explain how to calculate the same product sometimes with PVU sometimes with subcapacity licensing to put in place two-part number for the one product for the same functionality?
It wouldn't be two-part numbers. They would just use the subcapacity part number, and I'm not sure I understand the question. I mean, subcapacity allows them to license less than the full capacity, than all the cores on the server, right? So it benefits them financially. And so if you have an eight-way server, previously you'd have to license all eight cores on that server. But now with TSM being part of the subcap program, and they've partitioned that either in two LPARs or two virtual machines, and they're only backing up one LPAR or one virtual machine, they only need to license the cores that are assigned to that LPAR or virtual machine, which is less than the full amount. So it benefits them. They pay less, right?
I think we always license in such a way when we talk about LPARs and P-series machines. We always license just managed CPUs. That means the LPAR, which consists, for example, one core or two core.
Right, so that wasn't correct, because that can only be under when TSM became a subcap program, which happened, you know, on February 10th. So prior to that, the customer should have been licensing all the cores on the server, regardless of virtualization, whether it's SystemP, LPAR, or some other vendor's technology. But today, that is the case.
But we have a sentence in our some condition which says that we should license only managed infrastructure, that means managed CPUs or managed cores. If a power system consists of, for example, 60 cores but only 8 is active, we license only managed infrastructure, that means 8 cores.
Right, so there's active and inactive, and that's different. If the cores aren't activated, then there's no licensing required from any software group products. But if all cores are active and they're partitioned, under the old licensing rules, all of them would have to be licensed. But under the new rules, you can license down to the partition or the virtual machine.
Okay, and another one condition about active or inactive. For example, customer put in place two servers with the same configuration. One is production, the second is just for disaster recovery. Should we license both machines or just the production server?
So that depends if it's classified as hot, warm, or cold. We only license in hot situations. If that backup or disaster recovery server is warm or cold, then it will not require a license. But if it's hot, meaning it does work, there's a heartbeat, then it will require a license.
Hot, you mean, for example, installed operation system, installed for example, production application like Oracle, but it do not serve the client's transactions.
Right. So
is it hot or warm?
So you need to go to the announcement letter. There's a definition of hot, warm, and cold, and based on that, you should be able to know whether your customer requires a license or not. It'll be in the TSM 6.1 announcement under standby or backup. There's a clear definition of hot, warm, and cold.
Okay. Thanks for the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go back to Bill Bates.
Hey, Kohi, on the subcapacity, you mentioned there's new part numbers, right?
Yep.
Are they priced differently?
No, so the part numbers are the exact same price as the full capacity part numbers, but obviously by using the subcapacity part numbers, they have to be a subcap customer, they have to agree to this subcapacity attachment, and it's but the price is the same, except you're licensing less cores, obviously.
Okay, thanks. Got it.
And we also have a question from Tom Olesleggers.
Yes. Is it possible to mix full and subcap?
Yes. There's no requirement that it has to be one or the other. It depends solely on the customer's environment, and we manage to that. So if they're not virtualizationing in some part of the environment, and we can use full cap part numbers if they are virtualizing and it'll benefit them and you know it meets all the requirements, then we can use subcap part numbers. You can mix in the environment.
Is that also true on an individual ESX? Like, for instance, you use a BA client on every virtual machine, so you use full cap and then you use the subcap for instance, a SharePoint TDP?
Yeah, I didn't exactly understand that environment, but yeah, as long as you're licensing correctly, you can have one server be full cap and another server be subcap.
Yes, but the question is on the same ESX server. So suppose you have multiple virtual machines on an ESX server,
yep.
Then it would be beneficial to use full cap licensing for a normal BA client. But if one of those virtual machines is also running SharePoint, you would also have to buy licenses to back that up, and in that case, subcap would be better. So
I see what you
mean. Want to mix.
Yes, you can do that, yeah.
Okay.
Anything else, Tom?
No, that's it. The explanation was great.
Thank you. There are no further questions, so I'd like to turn it back to Donita Morrison for any additional or closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for joining. I appreciate you participating and all the great questions. If you have any follow-up questions, please get back to either Coley or to Tricia. We'll try to help you with those. And any questions on any future storage sales enablement events, please contact me. And this is Donita Morrison with IBM, and we appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and that does conclude our conference for today.